Before I start, probably I would like to convey the greetings from Pastor Solomon. He did say to me to convey the greetings and all the little church on the hill, on the top of hill. He is continually serving the church faithfully, and we thank God the way he is providing for his needs. And he would like to thank you all for standing with him in prayer. In life, I just wanted to think a little bit this morning. In our life, we always like to remember and think memorable events in our life. Something great, something big. That's what we would like to think and remember. But I just want to suggest to you this morning, it's good to think about bigger things in life, but do you know the simple things in life makes things life our better? Simple things in life, not bigger things. But sadly, we don't remember and thank God for simple things in our life. In my own little profession, I'm involved. For the last 50 years, I'm doing the same thing, looking inside the human body. When I look inside the body, every time I stay amazed. 50 years I've been doing the same thing. I'm looking at the same organs inside the body, but every time it looks different. And I stand amazed how they work. Do you know, with all the medical knowledge, still there are some things doctors cannot understand and professors cannot understand how the things work. As I said, put your thinking caps. You know, when you think about a person, a name of a person, his image comes in your mind. You know that? How? When I think about somebody, his image comes in my mind. Do you know, little fetus at 5 weeks of gestation, heart start beating. We look at the heart beating and we can count how many beats it can make. 5 weeks, and after 12 weeks and definitely 18 weeks, the baby is fully formed. We can see inside the tricks the baby trying to make inside. When you look at this, it is a wonder. It's a wonder of creation. And simple thing, when you open your mouth to eat something, your hand goes. How? These are the simple things, you know, in our life. Our heart beats all the time. And if it stops, finished. How many times we thank God for His goodness? Simple things in our life matter most. And we should be thanking God for simple things in our life rather than bigger things. I enjoy Steve's music every time I come here. That's a fact. And I enjoy looking at James and Jaden together singing. Soon Jaden will start singing. And Eddie, Derek. These are the simple things we think. But I think we should be thanking God. It is a given freely to us. So many of you are working behind the scenes. Our church is very simple church, only few people. That means everybody will be doing something behind the scenes. So we thank God for what He's doing. Not only the people in front, but there are so many people working behind. I thank God. This morning, I just want to remind you about our wealth in Christ. How many times we remember the richness we have in Christ and thanking God for His goodness. Just on a lighter side, I was just reminded about the family little funny cartoon. It's not a story or anything, it's a cartoon. That cartoon tells about a rich man's will being read by the lawyer before the greedy relatives. It reads, "I, John Jones, being of sound mind and body, I spend it all." That is His will. But when Jesus Christ wrote His will and testament for His church, He made it possible for all to share. He did not spend it all, but He paid it all. His death on the cross and His resurrection made our salvation possible. He wrote His will and He died, I mean Christ, on the cross, so that His will would be in force. Then He rose again on the third day, that He might become heavenly advocate to make sure the terms of His will be correctly followed. So He made everything possible for us. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, it has only 6 chapters. It's actually direction for us to live. And it can be easily divided into 3 parts, the book of Ephesians. First 3 parts, Paul tells us our wealth in Christ. First 3 chapters. 4th and 5th chapter, half of it, he tells us the way how we can live responsibly because we are so rich. And the rest of the 5th chapter and 6th chapter, he speaks about the spiritual warfare in our life. I thank our sister Sonia, she read those verses so well, verses 3 to 14 of the 1st chapter. Our spiritual wealth is from our triune God granted to us. That means we receive the wealth from our Father, the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. Our wealth has been fully planned by the Father, purchased by the Son, and presented by the Holy Spirit. Because we are so wealthy, because of our richness in Christ, our position has been elevated. We have been raised, we have been seated on the throne, and we have been reconciled. When we are born again into the God's family, we are born rich in Christ, and we share in the God's grace, that's in Ephesians first chapter 7th verse and the second chapter 7th verse, we also share God's glory, we share also God's mercy, and in His unsearchable riches in Christ. Our position also elevated, that we have been raised and we have been seated on the throne and we have been reconciled. And our spiritual wealth, as I said, is from the Father. As Sonia read, we only can see only few riches from the verse 3 to verse 14. But there are plenty other riches. When we dwell in the Word of God, we can see there are plenty more. But just for today, we just think about the riches we have in our triune God from the first chapter, verses 3 to 14. Our God has chosen us, He has adopted us, and He has accepted us. He has chosen us. This is a marvelous doctrine of elevation. Salvation begins with God, not with us. We were not chosen God, but actually He chose us. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's what the Word of God says in John 15, verse 16. Lost sinner, left in his own ways, does not seek God. Romans 3:10. God in His love seeks the sinner, but sinner will never seek God on his own. So we have been privileged that we have been chosen by God. He has chosen us even before He created the universe. Our salvation is primarily by His grace. He chose us for a purpose, that is to be holy. And we can only do this by His strength, not with our strength. He also chosen us for His glory and to be without blame. Also, He has adopted us. We can easily misunderstand and misinterpret the word predestination. Many people think differently. It is primarily what God does for the same people. In the Word of God, predestination never mentioned for an unbeliever. It is only the term used for the believers. When we accept Christ, because God knows fully well that you will be accepting Christ by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so He has predestined us and adopted us even before the creation when you are born. So there is a confusion about the word predestination, but when we go through it, it can be easily explained. God knows fully well, even before we are born, that you are going to accept Christ as your Savior. Keeping that in mind, God has already predestined us and chosen us even before the creation. It is not the word used for the non-believer. It is only used for a believer. God is not going to predestine an unbeliever. He is only predestined to a believer. I think we have to understand that. And also, He has accepted us. We all know fully well, we can't be accepted by God on our own because of our nature and because of our birth. No matter what we do, including giving ourselves, God won't accept us. only He accepts us through His dear Son Christ. So Christ has made us possible so that we can be accepted by God Himself. So we have been accepted by the work of the Holy Spirit to be the children of God. So what a privilege it is for us to be accepted by the God Himself. And we also have wealth from Christ. He has redeemed us. In the verse 7, He has forgiven us. In the same verse later, He has redeemed God's will to us, and He made us an inheritance. That's all the wealth we receive from Christ. Let us go through each one. He has redeemed us. Redemption is the word used during the slave trade in the past when Paul was using the word. Slaves usually being redeemed because they are under a slave, as under a person, and you have to pay the money to redeem the slave, or to make the slave our own, or make the slave free. You have to pay the money. The same thing Christ paid by giving Himself on the cross. He paid in full and He redeemed us so that we can be free. We were slaves before, slaves to the sin, slaves to the world, and bonded. But now we made free by Christ giving Himself on the cross, and He redeemed us. And He has forgiven us. Christ died to take away our sins so that they might be never again seen. Psalm 103, it says, I will never remember your sins anymore. They are like distance to east to west. That means we have to understand that verse. Don't think that God forgets, and He is omniscient. He knows everything. But only thing is, He will never bring our past in dealing with us at present. We have made righteous because what Christ did on our behalf. And God will never bring our past sins in dealing with us at the moment. You have been forgiven. Slate is wiped off. So what a wealth we have in Christ. And we have another spiritual wealth we have. He has revealed God's will to us. We do not know God's will at all unless we can be revealed through Christ. There is, in God's will, He's going to make things beautiful for the believer, I mean. At the moment, the world is going through strife. And in order to tell you, bushfires, floods, wars, rumors of wars, and everywhere, New Zealand, Philippines, everywhere, the same things used to happen even before Christ came. And Christ came and made it possible so that we can be forgiven and we can be, God's will is, He showed us the God's will. It is a mystery hidden. Now He only revealed to us. Even the Old Testament prophets and Old Testament saints, they really do not know much about God's will, but we know because it has been revealed through Christ. And also the best is yet to come. Once as a believer in Christ, we know everything will be made good. There will be new heaven, new earth, and we will be with God forever. That's all going to happen. That's all we did not know in the past. Old Testament did not, saints did not know, but it's a mystery has been revealed to us. We know now, only because of Christ. So God's will has been revealed because what Christ has done. That is another wealth we have in Christ. And He has made us an inheritance. We have been given a wonderful inheritance. In Christ we are an inheritance. We are valuable to God. We have, just imagine what God paid price to save us. He gave His own Son. So we are valuable to God Himself. We are inherited. We are valuable to Him. He is actually going to give us as a love gift to His Son in the end. See, these are my gift to you. He's going to give to His Son. We are going to be part of that love gift. So what an inheritance we have. Sometimes we don't think about all those things. We always complain. We, particularly Australia, we whinge all the time. But I think it's about time we should be thinking about simple things in life, particularly the wealth we have in Christ. If we keep thinking about that, I think we will never complain. We will be thinking about the good things, what is going to come, what we are already rich in Christ, and even we will be richer later on. It reminds me about lunch one old lady was going to have. And after the lunch, everything is finished and everybody is going away, but still she was keeping the fork in her plate, because she knew that something is, some cake or something is going to come. She said, best is yet to come. So she is still keeping her fork in the plate, because the desserts are going to come. For us, we are wealthy in Christ, but best is yet to come. If you are thinking we are wealthy, just imagine how we will be in the presence of God, saying hallelujah and praising Him all the time. I don't think we are not at home, brothers and sisters, but we will be home. So what a richness we have in Christ. We have inheritance. And we have also have gifts from the Holy Spirit. He has sealed us and He has given an earnest. I think we don't think about much about sealing nowadays, but in the olden days, I used to know if there is any letter or anything come, there used to like a seal, the red one. We have to open it up. But even now, I think all important documents, once the transaction is finished, they will be seal put on. Without the seal, they are not going to be accepted. Particularly in India, where I come from, they have got to be sealed. If you want to acknowledge that anything or take things seriously, there's got to be a seal. Our company seal or whatever it is. The same thing, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. That means the transaction has been completed. We have been saved. And God has put a seal through the Holy Spirit. This, He is my child. And He is going to be with me. That the transaction is completed and we have been sealed. And also God has paid as a deposit for us. There is a guarantee of inheritance and we have been saved and we are being saved. We were saved in the past and we are being saved in and now. And we will be glorified. So we will be glorified. For that He has already paid the deposit, saying that fully it will be paid later on. But now there is a deposit. There is a guarantee. We already been told, I think few weeks ago by Andrew, about the doctrine of salvation. There's a redemption, we all know it's going to be in three stages. We have been redeemed, That's the past through faith in Christ, and we are being redeemed right now. That is our present, and we shall be redeemed when Christ returns. That will be our future. So for that future, God has already paid the deposit now, and it's going to be guaranteed, and it will be fully paid when we will be glorified. So these are all the riches, few riches in the verses we have been read, verses Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. But when you go through all the chapters, three chapters, and also other books in the Bible, there are a lot of wealth we can find. Just a matter of being searching like a gold digging and gold finding. So I'm sure if you look for it, you will find it. There are a lot of riches. Riches mentioned here, only few, and there are plenty more to tell as we dwell in the Word. The Bible is our guide, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. As we search, we will find more and more and more riches we have in Christ. There is no need for us to live like paupers when we are so rich in Christ. The limitless wealth can meet every need and every task we face. But only thing is, God has done everything on our behalf. Christ went to the cross to pay it in full, and we are very rich in Christ. But we have to keep reminding us all the time our richness, because Satan is always there next to us, keep poking at us about our past and about our sin and how bad we were. But I think we should be telling Satan, keep quiet. We know what we are. You don't know probably, but we know. We are rich in Christ. And we know we are on the way home. We are going to be even more rich. And we will be glorified in Christ together. That's what we should be thinking about. Our wealth in Christ. But having said about wealth, we have to be reminding ourselves also, since we are so rich, there is a responsibility for us to live as per our riches in the world. Even though we are rich, some of us may be living as paupers. Our life may not be reflecting how rich we are in Christ. I think, as I said, if you put in a balance, we are so rich this side, but correspondingly, our walk should reflect in the balance, straight. People should know, particularly Satan should know always, that we are rich in Christ. That means our walk should be reflecting our wealth. No point in us knowing all these things. It's only knowledge. Christ has done everything. Our bank account is full. But that's not enough for us. You know, Satan knows the Word of God fully, and Satan uses the Scripture for everything. But his life, we all know, is not going to reflect anything like it. We can be easily fall into temptation that even though we are so rich in Christ, our life may not show our richness. So we have to be mindful of that. We have to keep thinking always our richness, and so responsibly our life has to reflect how rich we are in Christ to bring glory to Him. So if time permits, next time probably we go through the wealth again, and then we go how we talk about how we have to live according to our riches. For today, we thank God for listening. And next time when we come back, we go through our walk, how it has to be, how it has to be in Christ. So we will go home today reminding ourselves of wealth in Christ, and we should be thanking God for all the wealth He allowed us to have, because what Christ has done. Indeed, we are very, very, very rich. So not thinking about the memorable things in life, but keep thinking about the simple things that matter most for us, in particular, our wealth in Christ. Our music team will come and remind ourselves again, we are the soldiers.